Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf. Using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
This program was made possible by viewers like you. Thank you.
At IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
Public Affairs programming on WQPT is brought to you by the Singh Group at Merrill, serving the wealth management needs of clients in the region for over 35 years.
Countering the Democratic majority in Springfield and uplifting women in the workplace in the cities. We're days away from a conference in the cities that could change the lives of women entrepreneurs. That's coming up. But first, fighting against the majority party. Democrats in Springfield have super majorities. That means they could pass most any piece of legislation without any input from Republicans. But the Republican minority is standing up to legislation it feels is wrong for Illinois, from the budget to schooling at your home. We're joined with Illinois House Minority Leader Representative Tony McCombie of Savannah and Representative Dan Swanson of Woodhull. So let's start with you, Representative McCombie. How is this session going, and what is your biggest complaint about how the Democrats have run this legislature?
Well, this is a short segment, so I'm not going to go too deep into that. But here we are. We have 2 days off this week that we're supposed to be scheduled to be doing work. We do this every year. They end up cutting us shorter and shorter. We haven't done anything to speak of yet. We haven't passed anything on the floor. And now we go back week after next, and it's deadline week, and it's going to be complete and total chaos. And also, we do have a new chief of staff, which we appreciate is starting session on time. However, it has certainly opened up and changed the decorum in the General Assembly, where we are every day hearing all the negativity about the Trump administration. And we have state business to do, and so it just becomes a battle back and forth. So it is very polarizing right now under the dome, and that's not healthy for good legislation. So we're a little concerned about that.
So tell me about that. What are your concerns this session as opposed to past sessions?
I think I'll talk about transparency. Is that it continues year after year, and when we're not in session today, it means we're going to be working late hours. And I'm okay with that. I was in the Army. I'm a farmer. I know what it means to work long hours. But the public doesn't get to see us in motion. They don't get to see what we're doing on the House floor. And I think they're the real losers when we're not doing our schedule during the normal work hours of the day. And as the leader said, the new chief of staff is great at getting us started on time. At 12 o'clock, we're ringing in. Where it used to be an hour and 40 minutes sometimes before we'd start session. So I agree that there's a lot of work to be doing and taking these 2 days off. We like being in our districts, seeing our people, seeing the constituents in our districts, but we should be down there doing work when we're not there. And
well, there always seems to be one, two, or maybe three besides the budget that are huge issues that comes before the Illinois legislature. And right now it seems to be the homeschooling bill. Representative McCombie, tell me about why Republicans are almost unanimously opposed to this.
Well, we are completely opposed, and you know, we have over, I think, 51,000 witness slips, so we have 51,000 people also opposed, which I think is a record in Illinois for that. During the hearing, which Dan is on that committee, we homeschooler advocates and private schools and even some public school folks were there advocating against this bill. And so many people came that they had to shut the Capitol down for safety purposes. Mm-hmm. Really, the sponsor walked in and stated, you know, we're going to have an amendment. And I think really that was on purpose because she didn't want to pass the bill and walk out because of all the people there. This is a prime example of government overreach, of the government trying to tell parents how to raise their children, educate their children. And this is a very, I don't even want to say this is a slippery slope, because this particular piece of legislation is much more than just a form. This is much more than about safety of children. This is much more about education of children. This is the government really wanting lists and registering kids, and what are they going to do with it? We can't handle, we have a truancy rate in Illinois, I think, of about 31% right now. This bill is not going to help that, and we're not addressing the truancy rate in our public schools. So why are we now going to try to do this through our homeschool?
No, Representative Swanson, I mean, you've heard the argument that there's no accountability, zippo, zilch, as far as homeschooling is going. So you could have your kids eating cornflakes and watching cartoons and classify that as a school day, and it's unaccountable.
Well, I think that that's maybe not happening. I have more faith in our families. When we look at the caliber of the students we're bringing through our homeschools, I think there's some pretty high standards set in many of our schools. I met with a family before I came in here this morning. Four young children all presented themselves well, as we talked about what they learn at home with their mom as their school administrator. And I think that it's going to be a cost involved in this, even though the sponsor is saying it's not going to be a cost to the state. There's going to be cost to it. And I think this is one of the last great things Illinois has going for our families is homeschooling. And I think the family should be left alone. I think that I hear what, you know, it's frustrating, it's disgusting that families are teaching their kids during school hours how to do laundry, teaching their kids how to work on an engine, teaching their children how to do things that most kids don't ever get taught. Mm-hmm. So we're teaching them how to be adults too. And also they're opening the books and cracking the books for school.
But are you worried that some children are falling through the cracks that you don't even know about?
I feel that way about our whole school systems throughout mm-hmm. the state of Illinois. And that's not any mark against our public schools. It's just, I think the parents need to be more involved. And in many cases, our parents are the ones who are not as involved as in their child's schoolwork as they should be.
Well, real quick too, and like you were saying, but when we started, you know, with all of the mandates that are put on our public schools, administrators and teachers, they are not just teaching, and that's a real big problem. That's how kids fall through the cracks.
$55 billion budget being proposed, education funding to be increased. The budget is going to be your last big bill, as it always is, where you get the 1,300 pages. 12 hours before you have to vote on it. This year's going to be no different?
Yeah, I think so. But we, hopefully the Senate, I think, will be the one crafting the budget again, which does give us a couple days. Like last year, we did have at least that. From my understanding, that's probably going to be the same route that it'll start in the Senate and come to us in the House. But it's going to be a mess. There's a lot of things that were removed from the budget framework. Let's stress that. It's just a framework. That I think pits the Democrats against each other. And also a huge piece that was missing, we hear talking about all the time, the mass transit fiscal cliff of what, 760 or 80 million, I don't know, top of my head, wasn't even, $1 wasn't even put in there. So there's a lot of things in that budget that are certainly gonna have to be addressed. And I think, unfortunately, it's gonna set up Illinoisans for a tax increase. What that tax increase is, I don't know. Will it be on services? Will it be on sales tax? Will it be an income tax? Because we also have to tackle, obviously, our unfunded liability. We hear a lot about Tier 2 rollback. There's a lot of big issues right now that are being debated and have been debated for roughly the last year.
Education still is a major, there's agreement, a major agreement with Republicans and Democrats in regards to funding school, K through 12. Are you satisfied with the way Illinois is right now funding its K through 12 education?
I think right now, yes. You know, when we look at education at K through 12 is about $11 billion. That's a large amount of money. And then throw in the $350 million that's always been promised to the schools on top of that. It's just, are we using it wisely at our schools? And, it's a lot of money. And I get calls, and I'm sure you've heard of people, well, where's that lottery money going? Where's the marijuana money going? Well, that's about $1 billion of general revenue fund, and we're spending $11 billion in our schools. So it's a small part of that, but it all goes into the general revenue fund.
Leader McCombie, it leads me then to ask, of course, about higher education. You know that there's been major cutbacks, particularly at Western Illinois University. Do you have an issue that you think the brick and mortar university system best days are behind it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I certainly think it's a just my personal opinion, a better way to learn instead of online learning. But some do excel in that, especially in the new environment we have. But you know, the new president at Western is doing a good job, and that we can see in our opinion, and certainly making some really tough decisions. And a lot of those decisions are due to fiscal need. I don't think throwing money at a problem is always the answer. I'm not a big fan of the new proposed funding formula, and I think Representative Swanson can talk about that a little bit, that it's certainly not complete. But, I mean, this could be setting us on a path that is not going to be effective. Once you start something like the evidence-based funding model with K-12, and right. You talk about, are we satisfied with it now? Yeah, but I don't know that it's necessarily working the way it was necessarily intended to. So I think it's something you always have to analyze. It's kind of like a new tax. Once you get a new tax and they say, well, we'll sunset this in 10 years, no, we know it's never going to go away.
Yeah, so I've been on the task force on the negotiations on this, and it's come a long ways, but it's not soup yet. There's still a lot of work to do with it. I think the sponsors of both the House and the Senate are a little bit more hopeful than many of us are. There are some winners in this, and there are University of Illinois is one of the biggest losers, and University of Illinois has half the population of all of our college students. So if they're not on board, it's going to be tough to get this passed, I think. But Western Illinois University does pick up some money early on, an increase in their budget, college funding budget. But it's coming. The formula is based upon three different buckets of data. One bucket's the maintenance and operations of the school. Another bucket is about the institution itself, includes salaries, and then a third bucket is the research part of that hospital, where they contribute, or the schools where they contribute in the research. And data then is used to draw the money for those schools. And when we look at those three buckets, the middle bucket of the payment to the staff and the institution itself, of course, that's a larger budget of those three, but we need to keep that money going towards the operations of and maintenance of the school, as opposed to throwing it into one bucket. We need to keep the research or the classroom sizes and all those in a separate bucket, so they're maintained for the schools. Otherwise, we put it in one big bucket, it's going to be a free-for-all, I'm afraid. So it's been a long process. Like I said, it's not soup yet.
You're minority leader. It's supermajority Democrats in both the House and the Senate. Your district borders Iowa, and you see just on the other side of the Mississippi River Republicans in full control. Are there moves that the Republicans that are in Iowa that are making that you wish were happening in Illinois? You take a look at some of the cutbacks that they have. They've cut back on agencies. They've cut back on, I think of that, the government being smaller, but also the DEI requirements and other things that the state of Iowa has been doing. Are there things that Iowa's doing that Illinois should be doing better?
Well, one, I mean, just being in the majority is better.
Yeah.
I definitely think there's some ideas. As a matter of fact, I was having a conversation with Representative Walls from Ottumwa, and I said he was talking about a SNAP and some things that they were doing and to maximize the best dollars. And so, there's definitely some ideas. I think we can look in, and our Democrat governor has sent past letters to the agencies. Hey, look for efficiencies, look for ways to cut your budget. There's going to be less money. So this is not a looking for efficiencies and better use of dollars is not a Republican issue. We've had administrations, whether it's Obama or Clinton, do the same thing. This is just about the messenger here.
And as a representative of a very rural district, I mean, is that what you're hearing from constituents as well?
Sure, yes. lower property taxes, less income tax. You know, the property tax is hard, especially when we look at our elderly, when the senior freeze is not at the level where they can actually get a reduction in their taxes, because their income now has exceeded that with the Social Security cost of living increase. So they're resetting that property tax on their home, which is more than it's been since it was froze, and it's causing problems. And you know, they look at that price of gas, the 32 cents or 33, whatever at now, and the gallon of gas. Drive over to Iowa and you'll see a lot of Illinois plates at the gas pumps filling up, taking advantage of that cheaper gas. So it's hard to explain to our colleagues in Chicago that this is going on. We say that, you know, people go to Iowa to buy groceries, eat a meal, and fill their car up with gas. Three taxes that are lost in that process. And it's hard to convince them of that because they don't see it in Chicago.
And Iowa stole our ideas with a flat tax, so they're out of the graduated, and now they're not taxing retirement. So, I mean, we have good ideas and we're able to compete, and then they take them, and then there's no reason to. So it does make it difficult. And I would say Illinois, by far, and I think Dan would certainly agree, is in the best position to be one of the best states in the nation. But, you know, because of bad policy, it isn't.
And too many times the blunt of property taxes, the cost and the inclines increases as the school boards, those county boards, those townships take the blunt of it. But it's because of mandates coming out of the state capital is causing those increases. And, you know, we certainly talked to our colleagues about, here's another mandate. This is going to cost money. Do we really need it? And they pass it through the chambers. So it's hard to convince people not to spend money sometimes.
Sometimes.
Most of the time.
Our thanks to Illinois House Minority Leader Representative Tony McCombie of Savannah and Representative Dan Swanson of Woodhull. In a moment, a conference designed to make women glow in their career field. But first, some of the events that will help you kick off the great month of April, thanks to Visit Quad Cities.
Check out the things to do this week in the Quad Cities. April 7th kicks off QC Restaurant Week, so make sure you visit those participating QC restaurants for deals, discounts, and featured dishes. Then, you can check out the Michael Jackson Tribute Concert on April 7th at the Adler Theater. Next, attend the Easter Egg Hunt at Stevens Park on April 12th. Next, Ballet Quad Cities presents The Firebird at the Adler Theater on April 12th. And finally, you can have lunch with the Easter Bunny at Jenny's Boxcar on April 13th. For more events like these, make sure you check out our events calendar at visitquadcities.com.
The GLOW Conference is coming up April 11th and 12th at the St. Ambrose University. Now, GLOW stands for Growing, Leading, and Owning the Win. It's designed to help further empower women in the workplace. And we're joined by one of the people that's involved in the conference, Marcy Ordaz, the Executive Director of Lift Women's Foundation. So, Marcy, tell me, why was the GLOW Conference created? What is the genesis of this?
Well, the GLOW Conference was created by Dr. Ladrina Wilson, and the mission was really to be able to empower women with an emphasis on minority women, to be able to create a space where we could come together and learn on leadership skills and build together, and making sure that women, again, with the emphasis on minority women, we don't typically see other women in leadership spaces and business spaces that we can relate to or recognize. And so this really creates that space for us to network, create more relationships, mm-hmm. and see other leaders in that same space.
I know you have breakout sessions that are great, but you just hit upon the one thing that I think is so critically important, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the networking. People supporting one another and building upon that. That is worth more than anything.
Yes, Yes. So we're looking forward to the day. So the experience that our attendees are going to get, not only from the breakout sessions, but from our keynote speaker, Nicole Salas, and really hearing different aspects of life and how we can apply that in the business world, but also for personal growth. And there's that undertone of culture built into it. So these are guest speakers who have these lived experiences from a cultural lens, and to be able to take those and intersect leadership with culture, and again, just telling that story and creating that space of how we can help support each other in this growth and development.
We're talking about a wide range of business people, whether they're just getting first started, entrepreneurs, people who have established businesses, people who want to build their businesses stronger. How does this work for all those type of people?
Yes, so we do have a workshop on April 11th, and that is a deeper dive into personal and business growth. And that will really help the entrepreneur woman at any level. And it's really, because whether you're new or in it already, it's always beneficial to take time, set those goals for the year, make sure you have attainable, achievable goals that you can reach. And so that's what that session will really dive into on the 11th. And then coming into the 12th, so many of the topics are truly, again, just across the board for new, middle, or developed businesses and leaders on knowing how to have things like your financial stability, right? Bringing in income, but not just bringing it in, really learning and understanding how you can grow it to make sure that you're building a foundation for yourself, for your family, and for your future.
Because it's more than inspiration, it's some practical knowledge as well, because you can be as inspired as you want and still not necessarily succeed.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so many of our speakers, just thinking about the list in my mind, some of them I know personally, some of them I don't know, and I'm excited to hear them speak. I know the ones that I know personally have had that chance to fail forward. And so you're not going to come out of this thinking like everything's going to be easy, but really understanding that they have gone through experiences, they have had challenges, they've faced barriers, and are still themselves learning. And so being able to really emphasize messages like that to the attendees, I think is going to be phenomenal.
Is there still a big stigma for women-operated businesses, let alone minority women-operated businesses?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. I've had the privilege over the last 2 years to work directly with entrepreneurs, and most of them that we have supported are minority business owners. And really just to hear the challenges for women across the board, the barriers of family, and always, almost always being the caretaker. And so that is a setback from a financial perspective a lot of times. So there's many women who don't have their own personal wealth or assets to present for a loan, for example.
It's the capital that is all, but it's capital for everyone.
Yes, yes. And so knowing that these challenges still exist, but also knowing that there are ways to get through it and there are ways to succeed, I think will be a huge highlight of the day on the 11th and the 12th.
Well, the GLOW Conference is relatively new. So, I mean, you're going kind of into uncharted territory. You didn't know what to expect. You didn't know who would show up.
Yeah.
What have you heard from registrants so far? I mean, are you surprised by the number of people who have reached out and said, thank you, thank you, thank you?
Yeah, we've got a lot of women. I've been able to talk to a couple who even want to know, is this for me? And yes, it is for all women. And even though we have said that, especially for minority women, it is still for all women. And it's so important to understand experiences through all of the lenses of the speakers that we're going to have, because all of the women are going to walk away with this hopeful takeaway of personal growth, development, some cases allyship, and really being able to support each other.
And that really is a key. The supporting of each other is really important to get your business started and to have a core feeling that you're doing better, but also the understanding that you do have to reach out to a larger public in order to get your business idea to succeed.
Yes. Yeah, especially people that you don't know, right? And knowing that maybe those core friends, your family, you know, of course they're your cheerleaders, but will that test well in areas that you're not familiar with, women that you're not familiar with? And so being able to have that networking opportunity, open up the conversation with women that you don't know, ask the questions or talk about your business will really give you a new perspective, a different perspective, get you thinking about things a little bit differently. And again, the support and knowing not only maybe will they walk away feeling supported, but how can I walk away now and support these other businesses that I didn't know about or these other leaders that I wasn't familiar with?
So your best pitch, it is the GLOW Conference at St. Ambrose University. Friday, April 11th are the workshops.
Yes.
And then a lot of the sessions are Saturday, so that if you can't make it on Friday because of your business, perhaps you can make it on Saturday.
Yes, Saturday is going to be just as exciting and cross so many more avenues of personal development, growth, leadership, and in a personal sense as well, not just business. So there's so much that will come out of those sessions that even if you're unable to attend that deep dive for your business specifically on the 11th, you will still gain opportunity on the 12th.
Our thanks to Marcy Ordaz, the Executive Director of Lift Women's Foundation. And once again, the GLOW Conference is being held at St. Ambrose University April 12th with a pre-conference workshop offered the day before. And you can get more information at glowempowerment.org. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the city.
IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
Public affairs programming on WQPT is brought to you by the Singh Group at Merrill, serving the wealth management needs of clients in the region for over 35 years. This program was made possible by viewers like you. Thank you.